John Bunyan and Suicidal Crisis. Suicide is a serious problem. According to the latest figures, 6,069 people ended their own life in 2023. And it's known that about 20% of the population have entertained thoughts of suicide at some time in their life. The question is, how can we be prepared to help and support those individuals when they're feeling so low? John Bunyan was a preacher in the 1600s, and he explores this in his spiritual classic, Pilgrim's Progress, which over the centuries has proven to be one of Christianity's most popular books outside of the Bible. The plot goes like this. Christian is on his way from the city of destruction to the celestial city. And on the way, he hooks up with his friend, Hopeful. They're jumped on by the giant Despair, and they're beaten up and imprisoned in a dark, stinking cell in Giant Despair's castle. Now, Bunyan had spent 12 years in Bedford jail because of his refusal to conform to the official Christian forms of worship. He lived on the edge of poverty much of his life, and his daughter was completely blind. Bunyan, at this point, is writing from bitter experience. This is a quote from the book. When morning was come, Giant Despair goes to them. He told them that since they were never like to come out of that place, their only way would be forthwith to make an end of themselves, either with knife, noose, or poison. For why should you choose life, seeing it is attended with such bitterness? The giant's words take Christian to the edge, and he says to Hopeful, "Brother, what shall we do? For my part, I know not whether is best to live thus or to die out of hand. My soul chooseth strangling rather than life. The grave is more easy for me than this dungeon." Hopeful takes a traditional approach to start with. He tells Christian that suicide is self-murder and that God won't like it. He'll end up in hell. That was typical thinking for Bunyan's time and for quite a long time afterwards, until 1961, suicide or attempting suicide was a criminal offence in England. And those who took their own lives were not buried on consecrated ground. Occasionally, they were left to rot on the town dump. Times have changed, but the guilt card is still tempting. Please don't do guilt. It doesn't work. But as you read Bunyan's account in the story in Pilgrim's Progress, Hopeful learns quickly. He listens carefully to Christian's woes and gently challenges his pessimism. "My brother," he says, "rememberest thou not how valiant thou hast been heretofore? Apollyon could not crush thee, nor could all that thou didst hear, see, or feel in the valley of the shadow of death. What hardship, terror, and amazement thou hast already gone through." Then he assures Christian he's not alone, encouraging him to be patient, reassuring him that his mood will lift. "Thou seest, I am in the dungeon with thee," he says, "a far weaker man by nature than thou art. Also this giant has wounded me as well, and hath also cut off the bread and water from my mouth. And with thee I mourn without the light. But let us exercise a little more patience." Do you see what Hopeful is doing? He's reminding Christian that he's been through these kinds of things before. When you felt like this before, what sort of things helped you is a good question to ask. And then he talks about how he's sharing that suffering, that pain with him. He's alongside him. He's beside him. "I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to support you," is another good thing to say. So Hopeful stays with Christian, gently encouraging him away from despair towards hope. He's building a kind of scaffold around Christian so that Christian can begin to see reasons for staying alive. Here's the breakthrough. "A little before it was day, Good Christianers, one half amazed, braked out in this passionate speech. What a fool I am, thus to lie in a stinking dungeon when I may walk at liberty. I have a key in my bosom called promise that will, I am persuaded, open any lock in Doubting Castle. It's a little bit twee. He pulls out the key. Oh, look, I've got the key. But Bunyan knew from experience that the promises of God can pull you out of darkness. Yet even those who don't believe can find reasons for living if, like Hopeful, we can keep our friend alive until they find their own keys and use them. Hopeful was a good listener who didn't give up on his friend. He would gently challenge Christian's pessimism and help him to see reasons to stay alive. He learned to steer away from guilt and to steer towards encouraging people to see reasons for living. And he was prayerful. We can all do this. And it would help if we did some suicide prevention training in our church. Be prepared, because you never know when the crisis will happen.